Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
We encounter this every week. If you're in your middle night of the work week, or you're not even at your hump day yet and already feeling like it's been a long week, that's how I feel. It's way too early in the week to be this tired. So I brought extra coffee. We'll be ordering food because it's Hump Show. It's the middle show of the work week.
Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
Empty. It's not a good sign for Hump Show. Usually I have a little coffee left, even after we get through the first 2 hours of the show. I'm trying to open it. Oh, goodness. Ah. Wowzers. I'm not usually a weakling when it comes to opening up jars and cans. I'm the one that opens them up. Wow, it's stuck. Nick, can you see this? It's completely stuck.
I'm not good at that either.
Okay, so let me see. I'm worried that if I open it up with too much drastic an angle, the ice will go flying out. Oh my gosh. I wonder if it's because, so I put cinnamon in my coffee, and I wonder if some of the cinnamon is in the track. Do you ever try cinnamon in your coffee? It's so delicious.
I'm actually not a big coffee drinker.
Oh, what do you drink for caffeine?
It's not great, but I guess soda.
Oh, yeah. So when I don't know how old you are. It's fine. You don't have to tell me. But when I was younger, in my 20s, that's what I did for caffeine when I would work late nights and overnights. I was constantly drinking an enormous Dr. Pepper, especially when I lived in Oklahoma. You asked for a Coke, they gave you a Dr. Pepper. And so I got really addicted to Dr. Pepper, loved it. Every single night as I was driving into my previous network, I'd stop and I'd get a fountain Dr. Pepper because I prefer that the most. But then I got to about early 30s and was like, all right, the sugar. Oh, got it open. Okay, hold on. Phew, I feel like for a second there, I thought it was a weakling. I feel better now. Yeah, it's only ice. There's no coffee left. Oh, don't. So I got to my early 30s and realized the sugar went on a lot more quickly than it came off and decided I've got to find a different way to consume caffeine. And I really loved the smell of coffee, but I did not like the taste of hot coffee. Not at all.
Yeah, I'm at that stage right now. I just turned 30, so.
There you go.
I'm, Eek. So I can't, like, yeah, I realized soda is not great for you, and I'm trying to drift away from that.
Good for you.
I've been, I do like iced coffee, though.
Well, see, that was the thing, is I didn't like to drink hot coffee. Like the smell of it, didn't like the taste of it. But in New England, which is where I grew up and where I was living, iced coffee is the thing. Most people in New England drink iced coffee, I would say, even year round. And so I started drinking iced coffee, tried to figure out how I like to drink it and what flavors and la, 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 la. And so now I drink cold brew mostly, not always, but mostly, which is an even thicker, richer. I highly recommend. And yeah, it's healthier for you than soda by far. Even, for instance, I'll drink a Coke Zero or a Dr. Pepper Zero now and then just because I enjoy the taste. But that also has kind of some unhealthy sweeteners in it.
Yeah, they're putting something in it.
Coffee's
to make it taste good.
Right? Coffee's way better, though. It's actually good for you, studies show. So we're midway through the work week, dead center, actually. Hump Show. And it's our final Hump Show without having a producer. We're going to have to introduce producer Pete to the Hump Show because he is not familiar. He has no idea what he's getting into. So we've got multiple ways that you can weigh in these next couple hours. Ask Amy Anything is now 30 minutes away. So send your questions to either of our social media sites, at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. And I see some of your questions are pouring in, and I will definitely be answering them off the cuff. So I'll do my best. I don't generally do sports questions, but maybe if there's one that I can answer without making a prediction. So many of you, even in late August, would like me to tell you who's going to be in the Super Bowl. I don't freaking know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. Is this your first year watching the NFL? Do you not know what crazy stuff happens? Last year, I would say people have learned their lesson about betting against the Chiefs. But last year, the Chiefs had to go on the road for a playoff game for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era. And yet, oh, look, the team's better than you think. The defense is better than you think. But I do like the fact that we had some fresh blood, and that's really what happens. Half of the playoff field turns over every year, so it's a bit of a guessing game at the beginning of the season, which is where we stand now, whether or not the division leaders maintained their dominance. Remember how the Buffalo Bills were on the playoff, well, they're on the playoff outs, and they didn't win that AFC East title until they rattle off, what was it, 5 wins in a row to wrap the regular season, and they essentially caught the Miami Dolphins at the wire. It was a photo finish a la Noah Lyles. So yeah, there's a lot that can and will happen over the course of the next, you guys think about it, 5 months of football. September, October, November, December, January. And then we're into February and Valentine's Day, which means the Super Bowl now. Oh, plus Daytona. And so it's a long, long, long season. Injuries are the great equalizer, but also you don't know what teams / athletes might have this meteoric rise. I mean, again, think about the Houston Texans last season and the opportunity that was presented to them in the AFC South and how they grabbed it with tenacity. So I don't know who's going to win the Super Bowl. Stop asking me. But I'll answer your other question. So ask Amy anything 30 minutes away. Again, at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. And we're asking you to fill in the blank. This football season will be a success if what? Now, here's what I love about a lot of you. You're not writing to me as Bears fans and saying, this season will be a success if my Bears win the Super Bowl. No, I like that most of you are realistic. Doug says this season will be a success if the Bears win more than 6 games. All right. Was it 6 games last year that they won? I'm going to have to go back and look. I cannot remember every team's record from a year ago, but it's easy to look up. It's the power of the interwebs. Yeah, looking at the NFC North a year ago, they won 7 games. They were 7-10. The Vikings were 7-10. And that really went off the rails when Kirk Cousins got hurt. And Justin Jefferson was out for part of the season as well. Packers surged to 9-8 and won that huge playoff game in Dallas. And then the Lions, only team that was double-digit wins in that division, but it is expected to be a lot better. In fact, I could see the Bears not just winning more than 6 games, but flirting with that winning record. And with the NFC being the weaker conference, you go 9-8, or you go even, let's say you're 8-7 in the last couple weeks of the regular season, there's an opportunity, I would think, in the NFC to finish strong and put yourself in position. Trayvon on Twix says the football season will be a success if the Commanders win the NFC East. All right, that might be a bit ambitious. I do like what Dan Quinn has done and what the Commanders have done this first year with Josh Harris owning the team. His group, of course, includes that Magic Johnson. I mean, this is a group that understands how to put together a winning team. He's had success in other sports. Does he know football? Well, no, but they're going to figure it out. And I like Dan Quinn. I think he's resurrected his career, those several years in Dallas as the defensive coordinator under Mike McCarthy. So coming out of Atlanta, that failed experiment, his first opportunity to be an NFL head coach, and now he's got another chance because of the success of the Cowboys and specifically the defense while he was there. And he's familiar with the East, which also helps. There's a lot of buzz around Jaden, a lot of buzz around some of the pieces that they have, but they are still in rebuild mode. So that's ambitious, Trayvon, but I like it. The football season will be a success if What? Lawrence on Twix, my Niners can figure out the whole Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk contract sagas in the next 4 days. Yep, there's that. Thanks for weighing in, Lawrence. I wondered what the holdup was even a week ago with Brandon Ayuk. And what I've been told is that it's really up to Brandon, but that they at least are negotiating again. And I think primarily because of the fact that the trade market is really dried up. He doesn't want to go to the places that are willing to put up the capital to re-sign him or to sign him to a contract extension, not an extension, but a new contract. And the places where he might be interested in going, like Pittsburgh, for instance, to play under Mike Tomlin. Steelers fans, you may not think highly of Tomlin, but he is well-respected, and there are athletes that want to go play for him. So with Mike Tomlin being a draw for Brandon Ayuk, the issue was then that the Niners weren't going to get what they wanted in return, so they nixed that deal. So it's kind of a give and take, and it's been relatively quiet publicly over the last few days, just only that there are rumblings. The two sides are at least attempting to find common ground. I think the bigger question is if they don't, and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams too end up not getting the contracts they want, how long do they hold out or hold in? Either way, if they're not playing in games, that becomes an out, not an in. So yeah, that definitely is a big question. Really, you wouldn't think a whole lot could upset the NFL apple cart or the Niners apple cart specifically, because they've got all the pieces in place, relatively healthy. But yeah, this is an issue at these two positions. Remember, well, you may not have been with us at the beginning of the season. Oh my gosh. You are with us at the beginning of the season, Amy. There goes the perfect show. It's the Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page. So at the beginning of this show, I was giggling a little bit over the fact that Josh Allen is not only listed by some of his NFL peers as one of the top quarterbacks of the league, but he's also gotten the most votes for most overrated quarterback in the league. That cracks me up. Now, this is a limited sample size. I mentioned earlier, ESPN did this poll of 100 plus players, just more than 100 players, which is not even two active rosters in the NFL. So again, relatively limited numbers. But one of the questions that was asked, in addition to top three current quarterbacks and most overrated, is most underrated quarterback. And Brock Purdy, who was the primary starter last year, was able to get through the entire year coming off of that elbow injury. He was healthy. He got, along with Matthew Stafford, the most votes for underrated quarterbacks. And this list also includes Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, and here's what I thought was interesting too, Bryce Young. So there were ties between Purdy and Stafford, but then a four-way tie behind them for most underrated. Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Bryce Young. Dak Prescott, he also got a few votes for most underrated quarterback. I mean, what did we hear from some of his teammates last year? He should be an MVP. And I was touting him for MVP for quite a while. So Brock Purdy, to be healthy all of last season, and now have this. Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, these issues. To me, it's only this internal stuff that can derail the Niners. They've got confidence, they've got experience, they've got the pieces in place, and yet this is what could potentially hold them back. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports. Oh, not CBS Sports Radio. I haven't done that in a while. But it was 11 plus years of saying those three letters, so it's ingrained in my head. Sometimes when I'm not thinking about it, I'm just throwing out the name of the show in case you're just tuning in. I kind of right into the old three letters. George Kittle He was a guest on Pat McAfee's show, and I don't normally use audio for McAfee, but I thought this was interesting that Brock Purdy, while he's been under the radar, and the Niners, again, outside of Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, not a whole lot of drama with them. Not like we're talking about CeeDee Lamb or talking about Tua even attracting a lot of attention this training camp and preseason because of the comments about Brian Flores and his contract and all that jazz. Well, Brock Purdy, he's relatively nondescript when he's not out there on the football field. And yet George tells Pat and his crew that Purdy actually physically looks different now.
Most impressive thing with Brock right now is like, he's like turning into a mini McCaffrey / Bosa and just has huge quads. And it's just like, I'm a tall and like I'm skinny guy. So like, I just don't get that. Like I have nice quads, but they're not like Bosa, which is it. I'm a little jealous, but it is what it is. But Purdy just, he fits in that category really well. And yeah, you know, he looks a lot better, like just bigger, faster, stronger, which is nice to see. And it just looks more mature.
Bigger, faster, stronger, more mature, huge quads. If nothing else, you would think that makes your quarterback more durable. And that's a big deal. We had talked about it earlier in the show. 66 different starting quarterbacks last season in the NFL, primarily because of injuries to starters and then backups and then their backups. You've got guys that are on the field and are really banged up too. And you certainly got guys who are looking for redemption. How about Trevor Lawrence? Remember what happened to the Jaguars last season? They were well out in front in the AFC South, seemingly continuing what they started in 2022. But then they tanked at the end of the season and they left that door wide open. You had the Texans go rumbling through. A lot of questions about Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if you missed my conversation with Mike Sando, NFL insider at more than 25 years with The Athletic, we were highlighting his QB tiers with him when he joined the show about 24 hours ago. And he was telling us that Trevor Lawrence dropped like a rock into the third tier of QBs because of what happened last season. Almost reverting to what we saw from him in his rookie year when there are a lot of turnovers. Now remember, this is his second year with Doug Peterson, supposed to be more comfortable, more settled in. Well, he's saying, watch out. The offense is back in sync.
Every day we've built that chemistry more and more as an offense. And I think most of the time you think of, you know, skill players, the quarterback, skill players, running back, all that, you know, that dynamic, just because in the passing game, it's so important, just the timing and, you know, route technique and the way I'm going to throw it and, you know, what I expect different looks to look like. So I think that's where you see most of it, but also up front, I think the guys up front are gelling great. You know, they're playing really well together, communicating. Me and Mitch, obviously, it's a new center that I'm playing with this year. So that communication has been awesome, just to talk about different protections and whether it's protections or run game or cadence, all those things. You learn something new every day and you kind of just add it to, you know, throw it in the memory bank just for moving forward. So I think you can't get enough of those looks, and that's why camp is great, because you get to iron out a lot of stuff that otherwise you wouldn't get to see. So it's been a really good camp.
Trevor Lawrence, he's generally optimistic. He tries to keep a positive outlook. We know Mac Jones, by the way, is the number two QB in Jacksonville. So fresh start for him after his rookie contract in New England. Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne, Gabe Davis, Mitch Morse is the center he's talking about. So yeah, they do have some changes on the O-line as well as personnel. And Trevor Lawrence, you would expect, not that the new contract is something he would have used it as an excuse, but you would expect that another year under his belt, that he would get even smarter. And if he's really supposed to be among those elite QBs, remember, former number one overall pick, gosh, he was crowned similar to Caleb Williams when he was in school at Clemson. But if he's supposed to be among the best, well, this is a year where there are no more excuses. You have to raise the level of play of the guys around you. And I dare say that if they have another season in which they don't make the playoffs and 22 becomes more of this aberration, well, then you could see changes at the coaching position. Teams are not so patient. Front offices, ownership, less and less patient. Oh, and Bruce underscores this point for me on Twix, filling in the blank. The football season will be a success if David Tepper doesn't make an ass out of himself and doesn't fire his head coach. Oh my gosh, Panthers fans, isn't that the truth? The number, what is it, 3 years in a row now he's fired a coach mid-season or in-season? Yeah, constant change equals constant losing in sports. The Panthers have got to find some stability. They've got to. Could this be the year where they settle in a little bit? All right, coming up, it's a couple of controversies at the U.S. Open and also history. Oh, and tears. Why not? We'll hit the highlights. And you've got a few minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything at A-Law Radio and Facebook too. Plus, if the football season is a success, blank, you get to fill it in. Fill in the blank. This is like what you did when you were in third grade at your seat work. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I told you the U.S. Open had a record number of fans in attendance on Monday, which was the first day of this tournament. Last major of the year on the hard courts in Flushing Meadow, Queens. And there's a lot of storylines, of course. Coco Gauff attempting to defend her championship from last fall. Novak Djokovic trying to win his 25th singles title at Grand Slams, which would make, give him the most ever, men or women. And there are a ton of storylines. Carlos Alcaraz, up and coming. And then there's Jannik Sinner. Now, he's the top player in the world. And a couple of weeks ago, well, actually, I think it was a week ago we found out, but he'd had two positive tests for a banned substance. And there he was playing at the U.S. Open. He was allowed to play. And as I say, world number one, he's a huge draw, obviously. But he was allowed to play on appeal. And while he's appealing, the governing body of tennis, or actually it's called the International Tennis Integrity Agency, so it works along with the governing bodies of tennis, because he was initially suspended but decided to appeal, he can compete while he's appealing. And he's appealing based on the fact that the substance for which he tested positive, and it's very low levels, not that that means he's innocent, but low levels of this particular anabolic steroid. My gosh, when was the last time you heard that phrase, anabolic steroid? It was all the rage in baseball a couple decades ago. But there were low levels of clostebol. I do not talk about anabolic steroids very often. Low levels of this steroid. But it can also be used in medical cases too. It can be used by some eye doctors. It can be described by dermatologists. And so on that basis, he appealed and his suspension has been suspended. It's been put on hold. And there's even some talk that this was an issue created by his team, the people around him, that he had no idea. Now, this wouldn't fly in the NFL, but he had no idea that the substances he was taking included banned substances. So again, this is not something that would fly in the NFL. The NFL says it's your responsibility. Whether you know or you don't know, this is your responsibility. But Sinner is allowed to compete. And this is amid suspicion. As you can imagine, there are other athletes who are suspicious. There are fans who are suspicious. I mean, he's 29-2 on the hard courts this season. He won the Australian Open. He won the Cincinnati Open earlier in August. And so he's tearing it up on the hard courts like what they're playing at the U.S. Open. And his first match since the news of these positive tests was on Tuesday in New York. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. He won against a player that's ranked outside the top 100 in the world. And he just indicated that he was trying to stay focused mentally, trying to find a rhythm. As you can imagine, he's happy just to be playing in the tournament after everything that has transpired. So that's a story to watch. And you've got other players like Novak Djokovic. Not that he's pointing a finger at Jannik Sinner, only to say, hey, the protocols, the regulations, the rules, they need to be tighter. We can't have all these loopholes. They need to be more defined. We need to know if this happens, well, then this, right? As opposed to case-by-case basis, Novak was advocating for more hard and fast rules, if you will. Now, also at the U.S. Open on Tuesday, and this is pretty crazy, Daniel Evans, who was playing with Andy Murray in the Olympics, you may have seen some of their doubles matches where Murray was done whenever their run was over, and they had a few crazy comebacks and exciting matches where fans were just going nutso. He and Dan Evans, it was like they were winning Wimbledon, or they were, well, winning the gold medal at times. They were so fired up and they were so excited. And now Daniel Evans is in New York. So Murray's done. Evans is in New York. And on Tuesday, he prevailed in the longest match at the U.S. Open going back to 1970. But in terms of time, 5 hours and 35 minutes. So this isn't the tiebreak era, if you will. But yeah, we're talking 50 plus years. 5 hours and 35 minutes. And he actually was down 4-love in the final set. So they played into a fifth set. He was down 4-love and then rattled off 6 consecutive games. He was exhausted after the fact. And he was being interviewed on Sky Sports. He's a Brit. Just kind of talking about what was a marathon match.
I don't even know how long the match was, but
5 hours, 35, Dan.
Yeah, And I could see he was struggling a bit, and and I tried to just grab a game at a time. My serve was obviously really, really, really bad, like, because of my body. I've got a bad headache now, and just got to get rid of that.
Well, physically, that must have been absolutely exhausting. We know you haven't played much tennis. We talked about it a couple of days ago. You said you'd written this year off, effectively.
I didn't say that. I said it was a horrible year. I knew that I hadn't, and I put the work in, but not enough because of just being a bit hurt. And obviously, you know, coming out here, I come out late as well, and like to think maybe I got a bit of luck at the end with him hurting and me feeling a bit, you know, you obviously feel a bit better when you're getting on top, and I nearly blew it at the end, but I'm really happy. It was it was a hell of a match, and yeah, I just want to go to bed.
And I just want to go to bed, as he says there on Sky Sports. Yeah, he also told Sky Sports that he's never played 5 hours in one day ever, in two sessions, never mind in one single match. Did say he won't be practicing on Wednesday. That seems smart. But man, what a marathon for him, and what an accomplishment considering that he's struggled through 2024. He's had a ton of different injuries, and he admits he was hurting all over, really, and this was a war of attrition. So against his opponent, Karen Khachanov, they go 5 hours and 35 minutes, and it really was about the other guy hurting more than he was. I'm pretty impressive. Now a piece of history. And then one more note that I wanted to make sure I mentioned, just because it was sweet. It was poignant. It was emotional. When Naomi Osaka, who won the U.S. Open in 18 and 20 and has missed large gaps of time on the tour since. Remember, she'd talked about mental health breaks. Then she had a baby. And struggling to find that rhythm, even as she gets back on tour and is trying to find that form again. Her body's obviously changed, but just being away, baby or no baby, she's been away for a long time. But she's got major wins. She's got experience at the U.S. Open. And she wins this match. And then because she's so overcome by emotion, she's in tears. She said she was trying not to cry even as she was walking out onto the court. She even recalled last summer as a spectator watching Coco Gauff play and didn't know whether or not she'd be able to return to the U.S. Open, whether or not she'd ever qualify for it again. And also then she told the story to her daughter, who's a year old, refused to go to sleep the night before. And so, as many moms can identify, she was up late with her. She was holding her. And so that meant Osaka didn't get a lot of sleep herself. But yeah, big time. She beats a player in the top 10 for the first time in 4 years. Maybe this signals the start of Naomi becoming a force again on the tour. A lot to root for there. She's an incredible young woman. She's gone through a lot, both physically and mentally. And she was wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey to her post-match press conference. Definitely be following her. At A-Law Radio, a couple of minutes left for you to send some questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page, I'm going to answer them impromptu. So here we go. It's the Hump Show.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Well, at least that part's familiar. The music's the same. That won't change. Gosh, we've been doing this feature, Ask Amy Anything. You all have been asking me questions for 11 years. Which I appreciate that you still care. I know it's been a little hodgepodge and a smorgasbord, variety of different ways that we've done it over the summertime. But I'm glad that you're still with me and some of you have sent questions at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page. All right, so Carl asked the type of question that I just don't answer. Do the Chiefs repeat? Here's my answer. I don't have any freaking clue. I don't know if the Chiefs three-peat. It's a really hard thing to do, obviously, but also it's football and anything can and will happen. But Chris wants to know on Twix, will you ever run a full marathon? Actually, I get this question pretty often. I have given it serious consideration. I really have. There are a couple of things holding me back. One is working overnights, especially if you're talking about training when it's fall or winter and the days are shorter. It's so hard for me to fathom waking up so earlier than I normally would in an afternoon to try to get outside and train. I don't love running on a treadmill. An hour is about the most I can do on a treadmill before I'm absolutely and completely bored out of my mind. So in order to get outside and train and to try to do the miles and the hours that I would have to do to get my body ready for a full marathon, 26.2 miles, I'd have to train in the dark sometimes, or I'd have to, as I say, wake up a lot earlier, which just throws my whole schedule off. So I don't know. I don't think, here's the answer. I don't think I could manage. I won't do it as long as I'm working overnights. Instead, I continue to train for the half marathons. I've got my eighth one. It'll be my eighth coming up in late September. So about a month away, actually, exactly a month from this Wednesday morning. And the 13.1 miles is always going to challenge me. It's never going to be easy. I don't love running, so that's another thing. But I probably would try it if I felt like I could train sufficiently. Otherwise, my poor body might break down. So I won't consider it as long as I'm working overnights, but the rest of my life will not be spent hosting overnight shows on radio. In fact, I'd really like to find a different time slot now, a different day part, for a lot of reasons that no one's asked me, so I won't answer. But I would like to make that change at some point soon in my career. So maybe then I'll consider doing 26 miles. Are you kidding me? 13 miles is a challenge. As I say, I get, I don't know, a few miles in and I think, what the heck am I doing? Why do I sign up for this? Why do I sign up for this pain and suffering? Thanks for asking, Chris. I appreciate it. This comes from a Twix account labeled Academy Theater. I'm sorry, I don't have a name that's associated. What's your favorite piece of print media to still pick up and read on paper? Honestly, I don't read print media anymore. All the reading I do for work specifically is done online. And while I do search for articles about other topics, it's almost exclusively done online. I did read part of a magazine recently. I was sitting in a doctor's office maybe and picked up part of a magazine. I think it was People, or maybe it was when I was getting my hair done. So I have every now and then picked up a magazine. Here's the thing, though. Even though I don't read print media because it's faster and I don't get ink on my fingers if I'm looking online, just something that I do hang on to. I have a Kindle, but I enjoy reading books. So I read fiction, whether historical fiction. I do like military spy novels, Victorian murder mysteries. So lots of different fiction that I enjoy. And I prefer the books over Kindle. So I'll travel with a Kindle because that's easier. But I actually like to go to the library and get books. So maybe that's what makes me old school, even if I don't read print media. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, going through some of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. And it may look and sound very different this time next week because we'll see whether or not producer Pete can get up to speed quickly. Let's see. Rory wants to know, offense or defense? Oh, I'm all about the defense. I love defense, especially block shots. But yeah, if I were a football player, if I were at the NFL level, I'd be a free safety, just roaming the defensive backfield, having some autonomy, hitting hard, striking fear into wide receivers that dare come into my territory. So I go defense off over offense. In fact, I prefer a pitcher's duel over a home run derby any day. Darby on Facebook, your favorite Star Wars movie. Well, this one's easy. It's always going to be Return of the Jedi. But when I get to number two, that's where I start to waffle a bit. I love Empire Strikes Back, but I also really love Rogue One. So Rogue One has to be in my top three. That's one of the newer movies since it moved to Disney. Generally, though, I go Empire Strikes Back number two, and then I have Rogue One as my three. Let's see. Mike wants to know my favorite Little Debbie snack. I don't remember the last time I had a Little Debbie. It wasn't that long ago that just for nostalgia's sake, I had a Twinkie. That's not Little Debbie, though, I don't think. Nick, do you know if what was the last time you had a Little Debbie snack?
I don't know, but I only like the vanilla ones.
Vanilla Little Debbie. Okay, I'm Googling Little Debbies to see if I've had Little Debbie snacks. I don't think that includes Twinkies. Oh, no, we're talking oatmeal cream pies, not since I was a kid. Honey buns, not since I was a kid. Nutty bars, not since I was a kid. Swiss rolls, definitely not since I was a kid. Yeah,
that's like the kind of thing that when you go shopping with your parents, you just throw in the cart and then they see like, oh, how'd this get here? And then they take it, throw it right back
out. That's right. Good point. Nutty Buddies used to be a favorite, though. So not since I was a kid, but I did have a Twinkie a couple years ago because producer Jay and I, we were on this. I don't know why we're on this Twinkie. Oh, Twinkie Creamer, because International Delight came out with a Twinkie flavored creamer, which was amazing. It was a limited edition. We were so ticked when it was gone. I still check the refrigerators at the grocery store almost every time to see if somehow magically it's come back. And so we did a Twinkie. It's not nearly as good as I remembered. Oh, you know what else though? At the New Jersey State Fair this summer, fried Twinkie on a stick. That was incredible. Would you try it, Nick? Fried.
No.
Oh, it was awesome. Way better than my husband's fried pecan pie.
Fried Oreos are very good.
Fried Oreos. Yeah, I actually went fried Twinkie over fried Oreos. Delicious. Ben wants to know where did producer Jay go? I mean, he left. He didn't go anywhere yet. But thank you for asking. The last I heard from him, and actually I spoke to him this week, he's still looking for his next job, so he hasn't gone anywhere yet. But I did tell him that you all continue to ask about him. Rich wants to know, have you ever gone on a blind date? Oh, yeah, I've got some crazy stories about blind dates. But thankfully, that part of my life is behind me. And it's like it never happened. Ah, that's what happens when you meet the right person. Jeremiah wants to know when we will know Mr. Bob's real name. Never. At least not for me. He does not want to be on social media. We're trying very hard to keep our private life private. There will never be photos of him on social media unless maybe we get to 20-year anniversary and then we change that rule. Once I'm out of the public eye, maybe, but not now. Not now. It's to protect him. It's to protect his family. Just trust me when I say people get a little bit crazy with the internet and with social media. And I've had real live stalkers, and I do not want to subject him or his family to that. So there are reasons why he is absolutely on board with not being identified and not having his photo on social media. Therese wants to know, what was your first job that you got paid? That's a good question. I was 12, 13 years old, and I was allowed to clean a hair salon on Saturday afternoons after he'd already closed. It was a member of my church. And so my mom would take me there, drop me off, make me lock the door when I went inside. I would clean for 4 hours. I did everything. I cleaned the whole salon. I was allowed to use the radio that he pumped through the loudspeakers.
And that's how it all started.
Yep, that's where I started. And then my mom would pick me up 4 hours later. I don't think I made a lot of money, maybe $25 tops. I don't think I made a lot. But that was my first paid job, and I'm quite sure it was under the table before I knew under the table was a thing. Let's see. Have you and Bob ever considered getting into pickleball? No, right now we're enjoying riding bikes together, though. Angus wants to know, what kind of vehicle is Princess Leia? She's a Subaru. Pauline wants to know, do you watch the Paralympics? I haven't yet. What's the best college football rivalry? Oh, wait, we're up against the break. Gotta go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.